We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel. And today we are fully into college season. All of our segments will be college related. So we'll get into a little bit of UConn previews. We'll talk about the top portal transfers of the offseason as well. And some games to watch as we get closer and closer to the opening week of college women's basketball. Cal, you ready to get started?
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right. So our headline of the week is that AZ Fudd is staying another year with UConn, according to Rebecca Lobo, who got to ask her that, because AZ Fudd is eligible for the WNBA draft next year. But due to her words, she said, why would I go anywhere else? She's going to stay another year in UConn. This is very interesting. I guess, like, Cal, like, what was your gut reaction when you saw that news break?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked. In fact, I honestly, you know, I don't know if a lot of WNBA fans like really want to hear it, but I wouldn't be completely shocked if this continues to happen with some of these other big names in the next couple drafts, that the 25 class looks a lot deeper than the 24 class for that reason. And I'm not saying like no one's coming out this year, but I just don't think that we can necessarily assume that anybody's coming out, because I think the way things are right now with NIL and, you know, with AZ, it's sort of a different case too, where she just loves playing there. She loves playing with Paige. But I think you're going to see a lot of these big names start to, and we saw Angel Reese allude to it, by the way, too, you know, kind of, I don't know if you're allowed to do that on Twitter, but she did, but she just like tagged the top three recruits who are uncommitted. It's just like, hey, it'd be cool to play with these three next year, as in maybe she's going to be back next year. So, you know, it's not like she officially said it, but it's just, I think we're starting to see this, and we're going to continue to see some of this.
Yeah, I think even with AZ too, like, she's just coming off of injury, a little bit of injury as well too. So, you know, like, I don't blame players if they want to stay another year with their program. Also, just like Paige being injured the last year, like, who knows what UConn is going to look like this year, which we're going to get into now. So yeah, Paige is going to be healthy this year. Fingers crossed. What can we expect with her return? Yeah, I know, just like knocking on everything. The wood is back there, but like, we're going to pretend that I knocked on it behind me for those YouTube viewers. But yeah, what can we expect with a team that now has AZ back, Paige back, then we have a couple of seniors and then a couple of freshmen and all sorts of experiences on this team?
Yeah, this is definitely the most dangerous backcourt in the country to me. If they stay healthy, you talked about AZ dealt with some injuries. Paige obviously has had some big injuries, and it's easy to forget like that they haven't played a full season together yet, AZ and Paige, because the last time Paige played a full season was her freshman year when AZ wasn't there yet. So really looking forward to seeing that. And then now, obviously, Nika Mule got that whole season of experience to kind of build her confidence, get those reps at the point guard last year. And when you talk about putting all three of those together, again, please stay healthy for one whole year. Yeah. If we get everyone healthy, like that, that's a three-headed monster in the backcourt that is impossible to deal with, I think, for other defenses. And you throw Leah Edwards in there in the front court. We're going to get to see Ice Brady when you talk about UConn's injuries. That's another one, you know, top five recruit from two classes ago who hasn't made her UConn debut yet because she was injured last year. We're going to get to see her finally. So this team, to me, if you were to tell me right now that this team is going to be fully healthy all year, like maybe someone misses a game here or there, but like they're all of their rotation is going to play 90-95% of their games, I would call them the favorite. I know a lot of people have LSU as the favorite. I understand that. I you know, and maybe they should be, but I would have a really hard time picking against UConn if you know that they're all going to play all season.
Yeah, and I guess, do you feel like this is the year for them to do something with having, you know, seniors like Aaliyah, Nika, like depending on what's going to happen next year, obviously, but just getting Paige and AZ to play that season together as well, too. Do you think that this is kind of like they should be going all in and we should be expecting a lot from them this year together as a group?
I do, because when you look at it, I mean, UConn's never going anywhere. It's not like UConn's going to fade into obscurity or anything ridiculous. Well, yeah. But, you know, last year, Ohio State ended their, what, decade and a half long Final Four streak. They got knocked out in, I think it was the Sweet 16. And they are really, now when you, like you said, with all the seniors that they have too, and some of them may come back, some of them not, this is sort of the year, they haven't won a national championship since Brandon Stewart, right? So this is sort of the year, a pivotal year for them where I feel like you either bounce back and you win a national championship and you say, hey, like we're still the class of college basketball, mm-hmm. or you don't, and you were sort of officially in the, we might already be there, but officially in the, a lot of teams are as good as UConn now era, you know, would for a while, no one could touch UConn. And if this isn't their year, then it sort of feels like they're never really going to be, like, it's not that they're never going to win another national championship, but they're never really going to have that head and shoulders separation above the rest of the country that they used to have. And so when you look at all the pieces that they had, this is kind of when the stars are aligning. They have, mm-hmm. they still have a bunch of players here who, like we said, may end up leaving. Hopefully they're all healthy. This is when you got to get it done.
Yeah, no, I think I very much agree with that. I think that doesn't happen very often. And like, at least like when it does, it just, you can feel that there's a moment there that the team has a chance to kind of come together and do something special. So I'm very interested to see, I'm especially interested to see how they start out the year, just like kind of figuring things out with having everybody. But I'm especially excited for a certain UConn game in December, because they are coming up north to Toronto to play against the TMU Bold, which is my school, guys. So that's really exciting. I'm going to pull up, if you're on YouTube, I'm going to pull up the Ticketmaster screenshot, because tickets are like nearly sold out. So like all these gray sections, there are no seats available. So there's like maybe three or four sections left. So make sure you guys go get your tickets on Ticketmaster Canada. And I will be hosting the broadcast for that game. So I'm very, very excited. Hopefully people will come out and watch, because I think that's so cool. It's the Aaliyah Edwards homecoming. They did something similar with Kia Nurse years ago at my school as well. So it's nice to see that we're doing stuff like that again. But yeah, I know this is really exciting. I always love it when like American teams come up to Canada and play some of our teams. And I think it's also just extra special. Like it's my senior year. I know the girls on my team as well too. So I'm really excited to see them face off against UConn. So it's just kind of special all around. But yeah, I'm excited, Cal.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool when coaches schedule a road game against someone they wouldn't normally go play for one of their seniors to go home. You know, talk about Leah Edwards. I know Kelly Graves at Oregon did that for Ruthie Hebert, went up to Alaska, played a Division II team for her to go home. But you kind of glossed over Krina the fact that you're hosting this broadcast. Let's go back to that. Can you tell our listeners what that's about?
I guess, yeah, I guess that's kind of like, I guess that's kind of breaking news.
Big deal.
Yeah, so basically, so I'm in my senior year at TMU, and we have something called practicum this semester, which is essentially like we're in groups of like people in our class, and we are working on a really big project. So my specific practicum is a sport versus media charity basketball game. If you guys have seen that on social media, if not, you can go to my page to see more. But the other practicum group is actually broadcasting the UConn versus TMU bold game. And they've asked me to be the host of the broadcast. So I will be doing that. It'll be very cool. I'll be in studio at the venue, which is the Mattamy Athletic Center in downtown Toronto. Yeah, I guess I'll like post more details as they come. But yeah, no, it's really cool.
Do you know where we can watch? I want to watch this. Where can I watch it? Do you know?
You will be able to watch it. They're still kind of figuring out details because they've had to work out a lot of like legal broadcast issues. Cause I think they're working with like, I forget which broadcasting company it was in the States, but like they had to figure out like where it's actually going to be streamed. So once I have that information, I will let everybody know on the podcast and on social media. So yeah, no.
Appointment viewing.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. I'm hoping that like Paige play, like it's going to be so cool if like a lot of them actually get to play. I think, you know, our TMU bowl team is pretty good this year. Like they won the national championship in Canada a couple years ago, still have a couple of seniors. So actually we got like maybe one senior, which is my very good friend, Kaylee Hall. And she's going to be a nightmare on defense. So good luck, but I'm very, very excited.
She's locking up Paige in this game. Can't wait.
Definitely not biased at all. But
she's a guard. Very, I don't even know if she's excited. A guard. I just said Paige. Maybe she's locking up Aaliyah Edwards. I should know. Is she a guard?
Yeah, she's a guard. She's gonna be the point guard. But she's very defense heavy. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. But yeah, make sure you guys either watch the game or come out, buy tickets. Toronto in December can either be great or can either be super duper cold. So we'll see what the weather looks like too. But yeah, UConn versus TMU. And then we'll see also at that point, like how UConn looks as well. I feel like we'll have a pretty good sample size of kind of evaluating where this team is at. But yeah, Aaliyah Edwards homecoming, big year for UConn coming up. And yeah, very excited. Any last words on UConn, Cal?
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I feel like, well, I just wanted to say this one thing too, that I feel like it's also kind of easy to forget, is we talk about Caitlin Clark all the time, like automatic number one pick, like automatic national player of the year, blah, blah, blah. Paige Bueckers, the last time she was healthy for a year, won the national player of the year over Caitlin Clark when they were both freshmen, which doing that as a freshman, whether Caitlin Clark's in the, you know, in the league or not, is remarkable. So if Paige is healthy, who knows? I don't know. We'll see. Just going to drop that in there though.
just a little fun tidbit. Yeah, no, very, very excited for this team this year and for a healthy Paige and for a healthy team overall. Okay, let's move on to our next segment. I kind of had a little fun with the name. I called it Coasting Through College, which I don't think anybody really coasts through college, but it is a play on our podcast name. We decided that we were going to look at the top portal transfers from the offseason because there was a lot of movement, it felt like, this year. And The Athletic did come out and make an article with like different tiers of the portal transfers. So we'll kind of be referring to that article, but then also just giving our thoughts. Cal, you have any players that you want to kind of mention off the top that you think were some of the top transfers this year that you're most excited about?
Yeah, when you start talking about the top transfers, you got to start with the two on the right there that you have on the screen that we talked about last week. And that's, you know, LSU, Anissa Morrow, Haley Van Lith. Morrow from DePaul, Haley Van Lith from Louisville. Maybe the two best transfers in the country anyway, but certainly the best duo of transfers in the country, and the reason why LSU is ranked number one right now, coming off a national championship and adding that type of talent. But this is a deep transfer class too. It goes a lot deeper than these two, and there's some really big names that you can keep an eye on. I think you took it down. Was Tahina Paupau the other one that mm-hmm. you had on the screen there?
Yeah, right there.
On the left. Yep, that's going to be a really huge one. I think when you talk about South Carolina and how dominant they've been over the last several years under Dawn Staley, the one weakness that everyone always talks about, obviously, is shooting. And it really hasn't mattered very much until the Final Four last year, where it definitely mattered. But they've been able to win without that traditional spacing because of how dominant players like Aaliyah Boston have been, just in terms of rebounding and in the post. And obviously defensively, they have excellent guards on the perimeter in terms of defense and transition. They just haven't had the shooters. She's a shooter. Tahina Paupau is a shooter. And we've already seen it, you know, so far in their exhibition. So that's a giant addition for them, I think. And something that, you know, I wonder if Dawn Staley sort of looked at. I mean, she probably was going after her anyway, just in terms of talent. But when you lose a game like that to Iowa, where they're basically all five playing defense in the lane for the whole game, it's got to be on your mind. Like, hey, we need to bring in a shooter. So props to her for going out and doing that. That's why she's the best coach in the country. It's not just on the court. She's obviously recruiting A-plus in that regard, too. We have a few others, too, but I know you got on the list if you want to get into some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also want to just give a shout-out to Mark Schindler's podcast they've gotten out, because he's interviewed quite a bit of these transfers, including Tahina. And then another one, which I'm going to pull up here on the far left if you're watching on YouTube, is Celeste Taylor, now at Ohio State. That was also a big move in the offseason. If you want to hear more about that, like, go listen to her conversation with Mark, because I think it was really insightful. And yeah, do you have, I guess there's a lot of names on the list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should just like read through these names, but I don't know. I feel like we need to talk about them because it's just boring. Just this name, this name, this name. Mm-hmm. To me, what stands out about this transfer class is that there are so many players, I think, that sort of fill a need or fit the system that they're going to, which makes sense when you think about it. Like, that's why you go there. That's why they recruit you, because you sort of fit into that, what they're trying to do. But Celeste Taylor, you just brought up, perfect example, like pesky defensive guard, Ohio State, nasty press. Like, you teams already, you know, had nightmares going against that press with J.C. Sheldon. And obviously they did have Taylor Mikesell before she's gone, but put Celeste Taylor in there as well. And then the development of Cody McMahon, it's going to be like coaches aren't going to sleep the night before they play them. And then you talk about Tennessee, one that we haven't gotten to yet. Jewel Spear from Wake Forest going to Tennessee. Destiny Wells from Belmont. A couple guards who can really create and do some nice things offensively, which I think is another area where Tennessee has kind of been lacking in that regard. They were preseason top five last year, didn't really finish that close to that. And that's, I think, a big reason why. Obviously, they lost Tamari Key as well, you know, for a lot of last year. But to me, this is like adding this duo of guards is going to completely transform Tennessee offensively. So something I'm really looking forward to seeing. And then Lauren Betts, I think you had her on the screen there too. UCLA to Stanford, rim protection. She was number one recruit a year ago. Stanford to UCLA.
To UCLA.
She feels a big need for UCLA in terms of that rim protection department. So a lot of transfers that I think are, and we talked about Pau Pau with the shooting in South Carolina, a lot of transfers that it's not just adding talent. It's adding a skill set that I think works really well with the team that they're going to.
Yeah. And like another fun fact about Lauren Betts that I actually really liked finding out was that she was the first number one recruit to transfer since Elena Deladon. So that was quite the tidbit. Okay. It's cool. I think do you feel that there was more movement maybe this year than in previous years past in terms of the portal transfer?
I do. And I think we're going to continue to see that because obviously we're sort of in an era of player empowerment. That's number one. And number two, with the new rule that you don't have to sit out a year if you transfer by whatever the deadline is, a lot of players are more incentivized to transfer as well. At least the first time you transfer, you get that one-time waiver. So we're just every year, I think for the last probably 3 or 4 years, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe that number has gone up, and I think, it'll plateau at some point, but I think for now we're going to continue to see the number of transfers rise every year, which there's obviously pros and cons to that, but overall player empowerment is a good thing. So, it certainly keeps the sport relevant over the offseason too, which I think is great for growing the game too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's actually really key for fans to just kind of stay paying attention to which names are moving, which teams are joining, especially when you look at LSU being one of the bigger ones, just coming off of being champions and then adding two big names to their roster. I think stuff like that is huge for, like you said, staying relevant. But I also got to shout out a Canadian, Cheyenne Day Wilson, who's now in Miami, because shout out Canada. It's kind of weird that she's not going to be on Duke now. But just wanted to shout out another Canadian. But do you have any other names that you think maybe went a little bit under the radar in this Porter transfer that you want to mention?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M is a team we got to talk about before we move on, because they added three really good transfers, and none of them are maybe the level of Anissa Morrow, for example, or Lauren Betts, but collectively this is about as good of a transfer class, maybe you could say LSU with those two, but that anyone got in the country. I think Joni Taylor's doing a great job there. Brought in India Rogers from Oregon, Lauren Ware from Arizona, Aisha Koulibaly from Auburn, and that team is rising fast. So, and of course, then Janiyah Barker, who missed some of last year, was a top three recruit. And I thought maybe she could have been number one from watching her, and no shade to Lauren Betts, but I think she could be really special. So Texas A&M is a team that I think people who maybe follow casually know about the LSUs and the Iowas and the UConns and the South Carolinas, and maybe aren't familiar with this team, need to keep their eye on this year.
I was trying to think of a pun for Texas A&M that kind of correlated with being on the rise, but I couldn't, but I'll have to sit on that a little bit more. I was my brain was just kind of trying to work, but not my day with the puns. Yeah, we'll come back to it. Speaking of back, let's go back to school once again and talk about our games to watch in that first week of November, or I guess, is this the first week of November, or is next week the first week of November? Anyway, early November, we've got a lot of games. That's what happens when the month starts in the middle of the week. But we got a lot of games to watch. We can go through each one. The first one, definitely probably one of the biggest ones as well, Notre Dame versus South Carolina on November 6th. Aside from one other one that we're going to talk, that's probably, I would say, the biggest matchup of the first day of college basketball. But yeah, what are you expecting in that matchup? Who are some players to watch?
Yeah, well, first off, I just want to say that there was a time when college basketball would start on whatever day, and then the good games would start the next week. And now we don't even have to wait 2 hours. This game starts on day one at 1 p.m. Eastern time, because it's in France. So whatever in the evening over there, literally right off the bat, we're getting an incredible matchup. So sign me up. And we have two more ranked matchups that we'll get to on day one, too. We're just diving right in head first. I'm all about it. In terms of players to watch, I really wish I could say Olivia Miles, but don't think we're going to see her. I don't know. Who knows if we'll see her this season or not, kind of up in the air. But new point guard that you talked about, Mark Schindler's podcast, someone that he talked to, Hannah Hidalgo, someone that I'm really looking forward to watching for Notre Dame. Of course, they bring back Sonia Citron and Maddie Westfeld. So, and we got to shout out our friend Miles Grossman, by the way, from Fordham, because Notre Dame got a Fordham transfer, Anna DeWolf, who's going to be fun to watch as well. So, Miles, hope you're tuning in that one. South Carolina side, Tahina Pau-Pau, we already talked about. Camila Cardoso, sort of taking over. Obviously, she came off the bench last year and did some great things. And now Aaliyah Boston's gone. A lot of those players that, you know, the freshies, is that what they called them at South Carolina?
Yeah, the freshies.
They're all gone. Yeah, they're all gone. So Camila Cardoso, it's her world now. 6'7" center is going to be anchoring the paint on both sides. Someone I'm really looking forward to watching. And I know a lot of people are high on Raven Johnson. So there's star power all over the court on both sides of this matchup.
Yeah, I'm also excited for Camila's facial expressions as well, too, because I think that's also probably one of my favorite things about watching her. She's so expressive. So, yeah, I hope there's lots of camera replays on her. But, yeah, no, that's cool. Okay, let's get into some of these other day one matchups. USC versus Ohio State and then Colorado versus LSU. Those are two really big ones. Which one are you more excited for, Cal?
I'm a little bit more excited for USC Ohio State, I would say. And to be clear, I'm always excited about every college basketball game. I'll probably have both of them on a screen in my living room, you know. But I'll probably have the volume on USC Ohio State. That's the one I care about the most, you know, is the one I have the volume on when I got them all going. And to me, I'm interested to see USC, you know, there's another team on the rise, like Texas A&M. They brought in a couple transfers from the Ivy League, Kayla Padilla and Kaylin Davis. Number one recruit, Juju Watkins, I think is someone that is really going to be fun to watch. But the thing that I'm looking for in this game, first game in college for her, going against that Ohio State press that we talked about with Celeste Taylor, J.C. Sheldon, there's nothing that you ever see at the high school level anywhere against any high school team that remotely compares to Ohio State's press. So she is getting absolutely thrown into the fire from the jump of her career. And
we love that.
She's good.
That's a great
welcome. We love that. Exactly. It's going to be a barometer to really see how ready she is. I think she can handle it, but I'm interested to find out. So that's one that I'm definitely looking at. And of course, you know, watching to see how Celeste Taylor fits as well. Colorado LSU is going to be fun too. Colorado brought in Maddie Nolan from Michigan as a grad transfer, who longtime starter there. And then of course, LSU, this is probably the best non-conference game that LSU has played since Kim Mulkey has been there, I believe, unless I'm forgetting one. They get a lot of flack for their non-conference schedule, and deservedly so. But at least you have to say that, okay, they are playing a ranked team on day one this year. They're still playing a bunch of games against, like, East, North, Tech, State, nobody. But they're also playing Colorado, so, you know, whatever, good for them.
Oh my god,
no, I'm sorry, no shade to the teams that they're playing. That was mean of me. I should take that back.
No shade, but they're a bunch of nobodies. Good for them. That was your analysis. No, I love that. Okay, let's get into some of these other ones. Iowa versus Virginia Tech on November 9. That's Caitlin Clark day.
Yes. Caitlin Clark and Georgia Amore, one of my favorite players in the country on Virginia Tech, who nobody's Caitlin Clark. But to me, when you talk about just entertainment value, just the level of, you know, casual fans love to watch Caitlin Clark because she's flashy. She pulls up from deep. She can hit those step backs off the dribble. She can make the right passes. All of these things that you go down and check the boxes of what sort of your average basketball fan wants to tune in and watch. Number two on that list in the country for me, in terms of checking all those boxes, is Georgia Amore. So you have two guards who are just going to absolutely lighted up across the board in this matchup. And two guards, they both made the Final Four, and we didn't get to see them play each other because Virginia Tech blew that lead against LSU and didn't make it. You know, that would have been a fun matchup too to the national championship. But this is, I'm really glad that they're playing this game November 9th. So a few days into the season, something that I think college basketball deserves just to see this matchup. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's also cool too when you have two teams that did well during March Madness facing off against each other too, like early in the season. I think that's also like with the topic of like staying relevant and maybe like carrying over those fans that get attached during March Madness and trying to get them to follow through to the beginning of the college season too. I think that's important. But yeah, let's get to some of the last two matchups, which are later in the week, or I guess it might carry on into the week after. On November 12th, we have Maryland versus SC, Indiana, and Stanford. Yeah, what are you expecting from those? I think what I'm most interested out of these teams is to see how Stanford looks after losing Haley Jones, but I'm also excited to see Cameron Brink because I love Cameron Brink. And I'm excited to see what the team looks like, but also still kind of also with all the transfers too that kind of happened in the offseason. What do you think we can expect from Stanford this year, maybe?
Yeah, well, they're picked third in the Pac-12, which is almost unheard of for that program under Tara. But I think it's correct when you look at what the Pac-12 has in Utah and UCLA. Cameron Brink, though, is going to be really interesting in this matchup because they're going against McKenzie Holmes of Indiana. Best post scorer in the country by far. First team All-American last year. First team preseason All-American. The three returning first team All-Americans are the two most recognizable names in the sport and McKenzie Holmes. It's Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and McKenzie Holmes. So when you look at, I don't know if McKenzie Holmes has gone up against a big of the caliber of defense as Cameron Brink since I want to say it was her freshman year. She went up against Aaliyah Boston, played pretty well actually, but it's been a while. But then again, I don't know if Cameron Brink really ever goes against someone who can score in the post like McKenzie Holmes. So this is just that battle is going to be fascinating. Indiana, they lost Grace Berger to WNBA on the Fever. Now they bring back basically everyone else. These are two teams that were one seeds. Neither of them made the Sweet 16. They both got knocked out in the second round, which I believe has never happened before. I don't think two one seeds have ever gotten knocked out in the second round before in the women's basketball tournament. So you're talking about two teams that are coming into the season right away with a lot to play for, you know, with a chip on their shoulder. And one of them's got to lose this game. But this is a great test for both of them right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Those are the games to watch. And last thing, actually, before we wrap the pod, where can we watch the games? Because I feel like that's a big question for maybe some people who are trying to get into college basketball more often.
Yeah. So, you know, I should have written this down because I did see that you wrote that on your notes and I didn't because I'm not smart. But what I would say if you're a college basketball fan, and I don't know how it works in Canada, if you're in the United States, the first thing that you need, and I'm going to pull up these specific channels for these games, but the first thing that you need is some type of like regular TV service. So cable, or like I use Hulu Live TV so you get all the ESPN channels, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU is a big one, obviously, for college. Channels like that, FS1, CBS Sports. And then you're probably, if you want to get deep into it, you should probably have ESPN Plus. And I know the Big Ten, I think it's the Big Ten, it's going to have some games on Paramount this year, the streaming platform. So, and I believe, is that the one? I might be wrong about this. Is that the one that Aaliyah Boston is going to be on? Aaliyah Boston is going to be an analyst.
She's on the Big Ten Network, I think, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's definitely with the Big Ten. I was trying to remember if it's with Paramount or maybe some on Big Ten Network or some of each. Anyway, so, you know, if you're an Aaliyah Boston fan, which who isn't, definitely a must-have too, even aside from the games, just to listen to her analysis.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, I get it. It's like annoying. I pay for all these different services and whatever, but I don't know, if you're a fan of the game, put money into the game. So I got the, I have it pulled up here. You have Notre Dame, South Carolina is on ESPN. USC Ohio State is on True TV. That's actually surprising to me that you don't see women's games on True TV very often. TNT later that night on opening night for Colorado LSU. And then let's see, on the 9th, Iowa Virginia Tech, I believe, is an ESPN. ESPN 2 for Iowa Virginia Tech. And then you have ABC that first Sunday for Maryland, South Carolina. And what was the other one that we were talking about? Indiana Stanford is on ESPN. Yeah. So, yeah, in general, you're going to get – you're not going to get all of them, but you're going to get a lot of these games if you get the big main ESPN family of networks.
There you go. There's our TV guide for our games to watch in our back-to-school segment. So make sure you're writing those down and tuning in over the next couple of weeks as we head right into college season. This has been Coast to Coast. Make sure you're tuning into Her Hoop Stats for college coverage. I think Dano and Ice just released another podcast on Caitlin Clark, so make sure you go check that out. You can find us on social media at Her Hoop Stats. You can find myself at Karina MMM. Oh, that sounded like more M's than is probably there, but you'll find me. I had an extra M, it's fine. And then you can find Cal at C Wetzel 31, and you can see us go coast to coast next Wednesday.